The auspicious day, as it is the international Vesak day. So according to the Theravada traditions, and many of the Buddhists all over the world celebrate the three sacred days, when Buddha was born, Buddha attained the enlightenment, and Buddha also entered the Mahaparinirvana. So on such a day, whatever virtuous deeds that we earn, it multiplies to in millions. So therefore, it is very important to emphasize on the practice. So on such an auspicious day, to all the Kenpokyasan and all the Sangha members and all Dharma brothers and sisters, that first of all, I would like to take this opportunity to extend my own very warm greetings and best wishes to all of you. And then at the same time that although myself, I have a very high name, but no real qualities. From your side, with the sincere devotion and sincere faith, and from my side also with the sincere inspiration, and that we to do together this initiation, and I hope that this initiation will be able to receive you the blessings because of the interdependent origination. When the cause and conditions all together, it is bound to yield a result. And so therefore, that I hope that it will give you blessings so that you will have a very happy and long life and fruitful life and very successful life. And so I believe this, and so therefore now I'm going to bestow the initiation. And when we receive the initiation, from beginning to end, there are many things to visualize and to things to understand and to things to everything. But even you can't do all of it, but the first thing is very important, and that is creating the right motivation. Because if you have a wrong motivation, out of desire, out of anger, etc., then it is a more harm than benefit. If you have no right or wrong motivation, but you come here out of curiosity as a spectator, also has no real benefit. But if you have the good motivation, then even just listening to one word of teaching, one can have a great benefit. And the right motivation also has many different levels. Many people, they receive initiations out of fear. Fear of sufferings, fear of obstacles, and so on. And to have a long life, and to have a successful life, to have a happy life. And this is a good motivation, but it is still a worldly level, so it's not the right motivation. As it is said in the parting from the four attachments, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a religious person. So therefore, it's not a dharma. To be dharma, at least it is should be for the sake of next life, because this life is very fragile. This life is very temporary. It is not worth of having attachment. It is just like water's bubbles. The water's bubbles appears, but it bursts at any moment. So similarly, this life is short and temporary, and any time that we can lose it. So therefore, it is not worthy of attachment. And then some people receive initiation because life is not permanent, and life is going to end. And when we end this life, then our karma will determine. And the positive karmas, the virtuous karmas, will cause us to be born in the higher realms. And non-virtuous karmas will cause us to fall down into the lower realms. And so, if you have such a motivation, it's also good, but it is still worldly, still samsara, as it is said in the parting point of the four attachments, that if you have attachment to this circle of existence, and then it is not the renunciation. So therefore, it is also not right. And then seeking higher rebirth, out of fear of falling down into the lower realms, seeking a higher rebirth. So this is still, it is within the samsara, choosing a bad samsara and between bad samsara and good samsara, but otherwise still it is samsara. Higher realms is also within still samsara, so therefore it is not the right. And then some realize that the entire samsara is not worthy of attachment, and the entire samsara is a pile of sufferings. And so therefore, to seek liberation for oneself alone. This is, of course, good motivation, but it is self-attachment. It is still, you are still attached to yourself. And if you have attachment to the self purpose, then it is not the bodhicitta or the enlightenment mind. So it is not right. You abandon all the mother sentient beings, and just to seek liberation for yourself alone is not right. So then what kind of motivation then it is necessary? Since this is a Mahayana teaching, and not only that, also the Vajrayana teaching, the great Lord Buddha, who possesses infinite wisdom, compassion, and power, bestowed enormous amount of teachings. We normally talk about like 84,000 and so on. 84,000 is not the total amount of the Buddha's teachings given by the Buddhas. 84,000 is only a section. One of the Buddha's disciples received such teaching, so it's called 84,000. But the actual Buddha's teaching, there's no limit, because the purpose of giving teaching by the Buddha is to benefit the sentient beings. And the sentient beings have no limits. So the limitless sentient beings, to have limitless sentient beings, also the limitless teachings. So they are teaching so many. But among these, the most advanced and most excellent teaching is the Vajrayana teachings. So in order to practice such a teaching, you need the highest motivation. And so the highest motivation is that the space has no limit. Similarly, the sentient beings also has no limit. And limitless sentient beings are all, as we believe in rebirth, this is not the only life. We had innumerable lives before and also in the future until we attain the enlightenment or the liberation, that we continuously to have the life. So therefore, everywhere is it's kind of rotating. So one way or another. So therefore, every sentient being has actually become our very close relatives and our parents and our brothers and sisters and so on. But due to the change of life, that we do not recognize each other, and we see some as our friends, some as our enemies, some as indifferent. But in reality, every sentient being is our very closely associated relatives. And so therefore it is our duty to help them. It is not right just to seek liberation for oneself alone, but we must help all the other sentient beings, the limitless sentient beings. So the motivation should be for the sake of all sentient beings that one must attain the full enlightenment. And in order to attain enlightenment, that you are receiving this initiation. And after receiving this initiation, one will diligently keep all the samayas and vows and so on. So in this way, so that is the right motivation. And then also with the right conduct, physically sitting in a respectful form, verbally in silence, and mentally concentrating in each and every word of the teachings. So with such a right motivation and with the right conduct, then one can receive the initiation. Initiation, as I said, the great Buddha have bestowed enormous amount of teachings. And there are many ways to divide the teachings. For instance, time-wise, there's what we call three Dharma chakras. First Dharma chakra, second Dharma chakra, and third Dharma chakra. And then subject-wise, like Tripitaka, the Vinaya, Abhidhamma, and Sutra. And so wording-wise, and so many different ways to divide the teachings. But from the followers' point of view, since followers, there are two types of followers. Followers that who are aiming for a limited goal and wider goal. So therefore, he will divide it into two, the Hinayana and Mahayana. And this is Mahayana. And within Mahayana, we have the general Paramitayana and extraordinary Mantrayana, and this is Mantrayana. Within Mantrayana also we have many different levels, but this is the highest. And when the teachings came from India to Tibet, it came into two different periods of times. The earlier time, when the Guru Brahma Sambhava and Shantarakshita and King Tisondesan's time, at that time there's so much teaching being translated, and that is called the ancient translation. And then there was a gap. And then later, another period of translation started. And this is called the new Tantra, new translation. And this belongs to the old Tantra, or the ancient, what today we are known as like Nyingmapas. You know, there are schools like Nyingmapa, Sakyapa, Kagyupa, Gelugpa. So Sakyapa, Gelugpa, and Kagyupa belongs to the new Tantra. And Nyingmapa is the ancient translation. So this belongs to the Nyingmapa tradition. And according to the Nyingma tradition, the teachings are divided into the three teachings based on the sermons, the long lineage, and then the treasure lineage. The Guru Pema Sambhava, when he came to Tibet, and he giving many teachings, and then also for the sake of future followers, that he concealed many teachings, sometimes in the mind of the disciples, sometimes on the mountains, sometimes on the lakes. And so this treasure lineage, this is called what we call treasure lineage. And then pure vision lineage for the higher practitioners in their pure vision, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and the holy gurus appear and give teachings. So there are three different kinds of teachings. And this is a mixture of treasure lineage and pure vision lineage. And it starts with the Mahasiddha Thangdong Gyalpo. Mahasiddha Thangdong Gyalpo, who lived in 14th century, and he is a very great master, one of the earlier masters who follows the Rime, the non-sectarian. He received teachings from all schools. He also, in his pure vision, he saw Buddha himself, and many other great Indian masters and Tibetan masters. And then also he received teachings from every school. So it is said that he has 500 gurus. He received so many teachings. And not only he received, he practiced them. And he got a very high realization that he, through his miracle, he went by foot, he went around the world in one day, just like the jets. And he collected earth and waters from all over the world. They are still available. And so he is actually an emanation of Guru Rinpoche. But for common eyes, that he purposely went to the Copper Mountain Palace where Guru Rinpoche lives. And purposely went, not just like a treasure, not like a vision or dreams, but literally that he went. And he saw Guru Rinpoche, and he requested Guru Rinpoche teachings, and Guru Rinpoche requested the Buddha Vajrasattva invited in front of in the sky, and bestowed all the tantras of the Dzogchen teachings, many Dzogchen teachings. And then later Guru Rinpoche told him that your karmic connection is with the Tibet. So you must go back to Tibet and build temples, make statues, and so on. So he went back to Tibet and he built many temples and made many statues, and especially he built, because at that time generally, of course, infrastructure is very, very primitive, and people could not cross the big rivers. So they have a lot of difficulties. So through his miracles, he made iron bridges. He made iron bridges, and then so that he built many iron bridges in many parts of Tibet, and so that people can cross the big rivers very easily. So one of the, his name for Mahasiddha Thangdong Gyabo, his another name is called Iron Bridge Master, Iron Bridge Mahasiddha, Mahasiddha of Iron Bridge. So he has given many, many teachings, and then he himself, his own share of teachings that he found, his own treasure teachings, and then one of them is this particular long life practice that Mahasiddha Thangdong Gyabo himself, he lived 125 years. And many of his disciples also lived well over 100 years. And so it's very, very great blessing. And this has two, long lineage and short lineage. Long lineage is that Thangdong Gyabo gave to his disciple, and then his disciples give to their disciples, and so on, it's been passed down. The short lineage is another treasure founder called Shuji Lingba, treasure founder called Shuji Lingba. He has his own dharma, or the treasure teaching, and that is Avalokiteshvara. You visualize yourself as Avalokiteshvara. And then on his, as the owner of the race is the Buddha Amitabha. Buddha Amitabha and Buddha Amitayus, the limitless life and limitless life and Buddhist limitless light are kind of same. Different aspect, but same. So from his heart, many nectar coming down, and then to generate the long life. And this is his own teaching, this is the treasure teaching. And then in his pure vision, he saw Thangdong Gyabo. He's not the direct disciple, but in his pure vision, that he saw Thangdong Gyalpo and giving the teachings. So this is the pure treasured teaching combined with the pure vision teaching together. And so this is very, very... today I'm giving the short lineage teaching because it has some advantages. This short lineage teaching has no visualization, no yourself not visualize as a deity. Yourself remain as an ordinary person. And so that is easier for general public to visualize. To visualize yourself as a deity, especially those who are new, it's difficult. Besides, to visualize yourself as a deity, you need to have the emptiness view, because you have to dissolve everything into the emptiness. So therefore, it is more difficult. And so since strictly speaking, all these initiations that requires yourself to be visualized, you have to receive first major initiation. Without receiving major initiation, you cannot do the yourself visualization, strictly speaking. Although now in practice, short initiations are given, but strictly speaking. But this one does not require the major initiation because there's no self visualization. And so therefore this is easier. And this has a great blessing because root text says that if you recite the prayer 100 times and the mantra 1,000 times every day, then there's guarantee that one will live up to 100 years. So the name of the initiation is called the 100-year long life initiation. So it's very auspicious to give it on such a holy day as a Vesak. And so now to bestow this with the right motivation and with the right